Hey there, guys. It's Brianna Hodges. I'm the Future Ready Advisor for instructional coaches, and I am super excited to be here with Shannon Miller today and get this party started on a perfect match.
And I am Shannon McClintock Miller. I am a teacher librarian in Van Meter, Iowa. I also serve as the Future Ready Librarian spokesperson. You can find me on Twitter at Shannon M. Miller, and I blog at the Library Voice, and I also put my email in here in case you have any questions afterwards.
Awesome. Future Ready Schools is a project of the Alliance for Excellent Education in Washington, D.C. Future Ready Schools is a collaboration between the Alliance and a vast coalition of over 60 other national and regional organizations. The goal of Future Ready Schools is to maximize digital learning opportunities and help school districts move quickly toward personalized, student-centered learning. The effort provides districts with resources and support to ensure that local technology and digital learning plans align with instructional best practices and are implemented by highly trained teachers and maximize personalized learning experiences for all students, particularly those from traditionally underserved communities. I'm going to go ahead and jump into the frameworks before we, or actually before we jump into the frameworks, I want to welcome you guys and remind you to use the hashtags for today's webinar. Those are Future Ready, hashtag Future Ready Libs, as in LIBS, and Future Ready Coaches. So thanks so much for making an investment. I know lots of people across the country are experiencing some tricky weather, so we are super excited to be in this with you guys. So Shannon, do you want to go through the librarian framework for us a bit?
Absolutely. And we wanted to just start out by kind of defining our roles and the differences between librarians and coaches. And we put frameworks in for both of us as Future Ready librarians. And then the next slide, Brianna will go over their framework a little bit. But I think the thing that we really want to point out too with us as librarians is when we look at our framework, you know, to be able to look at those edge of the wedges and what we do in particular as librarians, especially when it comes to the instruction and curriculum and assessment piece, is as librarians, you know, we're curating all those digital resources and building these great instructional partnerships, and of course empowering our students as creators with all of the great tools and resources that we find and helping to support the teachers and the students in this. And that relationship piece that we have with the instructional coaches is what we're really going to talk about today, because I know that especially in the role that Brianna has in her amazing school and that she had before at her school, I went and visited her once and saw this firsthand, which was awesome. I think that it's really neat to kind of define those roles, but how we can also work together. And another thing that really stands out to me is, you know, we lead beyond the library as librarians, but we have that collaborative leadership that is really what we're going to focus on, being able to use the collaboration that we have and the skills that we have to empower our teachers and learners to do these things that we focus on too in that wedge of curriculum, instruction, and assessment.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's take a look at what instructional coaches do. And I want to give a shout out real quick to Dawn from Tacoma, Washington. She'd also asked this question of how do we define these roles? And it's actually something that we start pretty much every single Future Ready Institute with, as far as the coaches strain goes, is how do we define our role? And I say that because it's really tricky. Across the country, there is not a consistency in what we use, in the description that we use for coaches. Some people call them teachers on special assignment. Some people call them instructional coaches. Some people call them ed tech coaches. We've got a variety of names, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And I think that that's one of the things that really is a bit of a challenge whenever we go into to kind of describe this. And really at the core of this, if you're not familiar with the framework, and this is your first time looking at it, really want to give you an opportunity to go to futureready.org and download the frameworks and give yourself some time to kind of dig into them. But the main piece that we really want to, really when you boil down the coach's framework, is that we're here to help the learning. And what does that look like in the classroom? We're there to, oftentimes we say that we're there to support the teachers, but really most importantly, we're there to support the learning and what that looks like in the classroom. So coming in side by side, shoulder to shoulder, looking at and modeling and demonstrating, whether it's co-teaching or modeling or conferencing, with what those best practice instructions, instruction opportunities are. And so so that's really kind of that difference. Some districts don't have that coach's staff and some districts do. And I've been in both. I've been really fortunate to kind of bring that into some district, you know, to one district and then into another to come in to one that already had a coach's role established. But still, what does that look like and how do we kind of interact together through that instructional lens to see how we can help our schools go in that future ready direction.
Well, and I think too, just looking at, I think about, you know, listening and especially watching what Brianna does and other instructional coaches around the country, and even mine at my school at Van Meter, and being able to see, I think it's exciting for me to see that as a librarian, because it makes even our jobs as librarians even more relevant and important, because we have not only the teachers and students that we need to be supporting and working together with, but just like Brianna said, working, you know, side by side with these instructional coaches to be that perfect match in the school, to be able to support, to be able to teach together, to be able to provide resources, to think of ideas. And I know for me, the brainstorming that I have with my instructional coaches and just the co-teaching that we do and the support that we give each other, it's really been an awesome relationship for me to have at my school, because it kind of defines my role and the importance more in the learning piece of what I do as a teacher librarian. And so something like this is, I'm sure that a lot of you listening, that's something that I think is really exciting where we're going within our schools, and that is something that I know for me, and I'm sure a lot of you too, has become so important for our kids as well.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the parts of that is that we are starting to see that transition, right, in our schools, go away from the siloing and the isolation of certain roles and really of our content areas. And so we're starting to see that cross-curricular collaboration and even cross grades and cross schools and all of those opportunities. And so it only makes sense that that's also being reflected in our jobs. I think that as grownups, sometimes we feel like that can sometimes be interpreted as stepping on people's toes. But if we have and form those really good relationships, we're able to really partner together and play off of each other's strengths and maximize the opportunities to really scale and leverage the learning that can happen. And I think that's why, personally for me, I'm so excited to be able to do this, call with Shannon today, because I do think there's so much importance of having that successful partnership together whenever we bring these two mighty forces together.
Absolutely. Well, and I just wanted to mention too, if you're new to the frameworks and new to this conversation, like looking at this, we've just taken just a few pieces of each one of our framework out so we can kind of focus on them today. And this is something that's a really good practice to do too within your school when you're sitting down with your instructional coaches, your curriculum director, your administrators, and having these conversations on how the two can work together. Pulling these out of the frameworks and having them for that conversation, that just common roadmap, is something that is so important and will really strengthen this relationship as well.
And I'm so glad that you used the word roadmap, Shannon, because I think that that's something that we see a lot, right? This isn't a recipe book. It's not a mandate of this is what you will do in your roles, but instead it's kind of like, these are the main opportunities for us to, you know, really kind of champion for and provide opportunity for change. And so you kind of look to see, like, maybe you've been in this, maybe you've been to this state before, but you haven't ever had an opportunity to take some time out to go see this roadside attraction. And so you're going to check it out on your map, and you're going to go spend a little bit more time in one particular area than you would have something that has been really, you know, you feel like you've visited this one part over and over again. And so I think it's really important to continually refer back to that, to the framework, and see where, you know, where your focus needs to be this go round.
Absolutely. I think that's so great. One, we're through this webinar and just talking like with Brianna, and her and I are not only colleagues, but friends too. And we know a lot about each other's practice. And I think that one thing that is really fun is just, you know, finding that perfect match on how we can support each other. And so how can librarians and coaches come together to support innovation? And this is where we're going to start in our conversation today.
Absolutely. So I think that one of the, and again, several questions. Thanks all to each of you who, to everybody who was putting in questions ahead of time. And we really appreciate that. Several questions have been popping up about this specific question, sorry as I stumble over my words, of how do we kind of gently navigate who's in what role and what those things look like. And like I said, sometimes as grownups, stepping on each other's toes can either be very painful, or it can be quickly a way to connect, because you're all of a sudden finding yourself apologizing and starting in on a conversation that that you really wanted to have. And so as we kind of come into that, what are some best practices that are out there? And I think that part of it is, first and foremost, kind of acknowledging within yourself of, you know, really identifying what those roles are. And I think it's important, or at least in the circumstances that I've been a part of, is that it's not only important for you to identify your own role, but it's also important for you to listen how someone else has identified their role, and not to make a snap judgment on what somebody else does. You know, that whole Atticus Finch, we got to make sure that we're looking at people's perspectives through their own shoes, as opposed to just looking at and making those judgments on that. So that said, how do we kind of dive in and work together as we come into that? So I personally, and if I think, Shannon, if you can go to the next slide, I think this goes into this next part where we're really, you know, having some of these conversations of how do we move from like telling what it is that we do into those true partnership opportunities. And first thing, I guess really quickly to go back to, you know, identifying your role. One of the things that we recommend for our coaches is to share out, you know, what it is that you do at the very beginning of the year, and you know, kind of frame that for people. You know, whether it's through a virtual business card, or whether it's through you know, meet and greets during in service. There's so many different ways, but having that personalized opportunity for you to really kind of set the tone and set the stage for how it is that you're there to help support the learning. I think, again, it's really important from that coach's perspective, because it can be interpreted so differently by so many people, to go ahead and kind of lay that out there. Shannon, do you have any tips of how you kind of set your role with people?
I think that is also, you know, so important. And in kind of towards the end of this, I'll share a slide of what we did at the beginning of the year. And this year I'm really lucky because I have a partner librarian. And so the two of us, you know, work not only with our instructional coaches, but what, you know, kind of define our role again of what we do as librarian and what our instructional coaches can do. And just also, you know, what is kind of expected and what is, you know, what we need to from our teachers. And so I think those things are really important to start out, because so many people, Even if they hear it, you know, at the beginning of the year, it's always good to mention that again at the beginning of every year. Even, you know, we did a big push at the beginning of the new year after the holiday break, you know, just pushing things out again and reminding people that we're there for them and kind of defining our roles and the things that we can do as their librarians at school.
And I'm so glad that you said that, of like repeating it at the beginning of each year. That was one of the things at the Future Ready Institutes this last year that came out. Several people talked about how they were very intentional in doing it at the beginning of maybe of their implementation efforts. So maybe it was the first year that they had coaching, or maybe it was the very beginning of a one-to-one initiative, or whatever the case is, where they were very intentional in setting that frame. But then the next year they just assumed of, oh, people already know this. They know what I do. I have these great relationships with people. I don't need to, you know, reintroduce myself. And this particular coach that I'm thinking of, she was reflecting on this in year three. And she noted that her second year, when she didn't introduce herself, is when she felt a huge disconnect to that. And so she was sharing how important it was to make sure that she set that. And it was almost kind of like a goal setting for herself, really, of like, I want to be very intentional for me to kind of pledge out, like, this is what I'm here for you for, and frame that, as opposed to just assuming people knew that. So I think that that's, thanks for sharing that part.
Yeah, I think it's important too for people to actually like see it too. You know, I think about like having just conversations to that, you know, true and powerful partnership, just like it says, but having people actually like see that throughout the year is also important. You know, have it be, you know, front and center what you do with this person and your partner. And I think that that is a really big thing for the teachers in the school to see too, and your administrators, everybody that you work with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So now that we've kind of gone into our roles, then I want to give out a couple shout outs of people who are really making this relationship work. So a couple of them from right here in my district, from Eames here in Austin, got Lisa Johnson here on the left, and Carolyn Foote over on the right. At least that's how I'm looking at it. I'm sorry if that's opposite for you guys on your screen, but these are both, Lisa is an ed tech here at Westlake High School, and Carolyn is the librarian, as well as our district librarian for our campus, or for our district. And they have an amazing relationship. One of these were the things that were so powerful for them that they shared with me. They said that at the bare minimum, you have to have a mutual trust and respect, both personally and professionally, of each other, to be able to work into this partnership. And they said, secondly, it's an understanding of the role as well as where your personal and professional expertise are. You know, Lisa is, if you follow her work, she just released a new book, and she is insanely passionate about journaling and you know, the power for reflection, and the power that it really helps us as far as, you know, our academic learning and our professional learning and all these different pieces. And that's one of those things that Carolyn can really kind of point to. And they partner together on so many different presentation opportunities and ways to work with teachers. And so it's nice for them to be able to know those things as they kind of come into those classroom settings, which also was important for them to really kind of walk through. You have to maintain a pulse both on the classroom as well as the campus climate and culture. So what's happening? How can we continue to be seen and really kind of move into that? As far as they go, the biggest things that they said were really important for them is to continue to stay in the loop. And so they, for each other, they're continuing to talk through like, hey, I just heard about this project, or this teacher just came to me with this idea, or I was noticing that this is coming up in the curriculum. And then they, as they're having these conversations, and these may be, you know, just a quick little conversation over a Diet Coke at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or it may be, you know, a scheduled meeting, then they're able, because they know where each other's passion points are and where each other's expertise are, they can really kind of help fill in the gaps there. Which is super, super nice. So I, again, just a huge shout out for our secondary opportunities that are out there. If you can go to the next slide for me, Shannon.
I just wanted to say too, that I think like that the last thing, like keeping a pulse on the classroom and campus, like just always having each other's back. And even if it's like just mentioning something like passing in the hallway, it doesn't have to be like this big scheduled, you know, meeting or something that, you know, you prepare for, even just mentioning that, or a quick text, or, you know, something that is just really organic can sometimes be those best connections, right? Like you just, you have to remember that. And that comes along with that relationship piece too. That's why it's so important.
Absolutely. And again, like playing off of your strengths, like one of the things that, Carolyn and Lisa do so well is, Carolyn is, you know, she really wants to focus on, there's a project that our high school does that's the Vietnam project. And one of the elements that Carolyn is very strong in and is very passionate about is the research and the story design of, they put together this video. And as they are creating it, she's with them, you know, giving them tips and things over that. Whenever they transfer into the actual creation element of it, then Lisa comes in and talks about the logistics of creating this. How is this going to, you know, work best? How can we plan for it? She is super amazing about slide design and about presentation opportunities. And so they again can kind of like pull off of that. So it doesn't have to be a full on investment of time of both parts. It can be, you know, where they can kind of bounce back and forth and not, you know, again, have to dedicate a huge amount of time where they're not able to really kind of feed into other needs as well.
Yeah.
So for this next one, this is another one of our amazing ed techs, which is Fred Benitez. And he works with the librarian at his middle school, which is Westridge Middle School, again, here in Eanes. And he shared this amazing story with me, which is that his librarian, Pat, came to him with a proposal last year where she wanted to showcase how much reading is actually happening. So she referenced this article from Penny Kittle, and it inspired them to create this Google form that students would then fill out. So they used the Google Data Studio, and then they created this digital dashboard that they kept up going in real time that would help. They shared it at the front of the school. It was in all of the major common areas, so that way they could just continue to keep that focus going on literacy. How much are we reading? You know, again, bringing that to the forefront. And they dream teamed it together, and they called it Reading at the Ridge. And on the next slide, actually, I have a snapshot of what that looks like. And so they ordered a flat screen panel just to be dedicated specifically to this project as well, you know, because kids just got crazy excited about it. And we're really excited to just see their reading actually in action. Another project that they worked on was something to promote Lone Star Books here in Texas. And so they are working on, you know, creating book trailers. Fred is an amazing, he's an ADE and an Apple Distinguished Educator, and he's also an Adobe Education Leader. And he has insane skills when it comes to film production, and just his artistic eye is so, so on point. And he has really, you know, helped with the creation opportunities to merge that in together. So again, in that, you know, kind of pulling from what I was talking about with Lisa and Carolyn, Fred and Pat are able to showcase, here's this marriage between this curriculum and this content, and the and visualizing this, bringing it together to pull this demonstration of learning together. And it's just been such an amazing thing to watch with them. So a huge shout out to those fine folks for what they do.
Yeah, I love that. You've shared that project with me before. It's so cool. Another thing that is really helpful to us, you know, just these projects and ideas are so awesome, but sometimes it's a little overwhelming, like to think about like how you would figure out, you know, just how to get it done, how to work your collaboration, how do we know what's going on like in the classroom so we can be supporting. And one thing that we do every year is just start a simple Google Doc where we send it out to the teachers. And I'm going to K-12 building. And so we have one for elementary and secondary. And then the teachers are responsible for filling in these blanks on what's happening in their classroom. The great thing about this is not only when I first started it, it was for me as a librarian, and this was many years ago, but now it's really nice for all of us because the instructional coaches and the librarians, and even looking like how we can tie in across the grade levels and across the curriculum, these things that are happening in the classrooms and with our kids. And so this is something that is such a simple idea. When we were kind of struggling to get some of our teachers, you know, collaborating and this happening across the board even more, this is something that we put into place. And within months, we saw the collaboration like skyrocket, because you don't want to be like the blank, you know, row or boxes, because this is something that everybody can see. This is a public Google Doc that, you know, our administrators and our teachers and everyone can see this, because we're collaborating and working on this together. And so something like this can just really, really help. Another thing that's been helpful to us is we have a couple different Google Classrooms this year. And so, of course, we all share emails. You know, we're librarians, we're instructional coaches, we like to share things that we find. It can often be a little overwhelming to people too, because it's a lot of, you know, information and just keeping up with, you know, that slam of tools. I have loved using Google Classroom for this, because it not only is a great way to get things into the hands of the teachers and sharing these resources and these collaborations, but it's a way also for you to organize it yourself. And so then when you're looking and you're saying like, okay, I just had that great thing I did with like Kate, she's one of our instructional coaches and a classroom teacher, and I did this great thing with Kate and we shared this project, like now I got to find that email. I can go into my Google Classroom and look at that topic, and it's all there. And so when I go into my next year and I have these great things that we're doing and things I want to share, I can just go back, even reshare it or change it and post it again. And we have a couple of them. We have them for like our tech coaches and sharing resources that way. Just a really good way to kind of keep everybody in the loop. And we also use Destiny Collections. And collections have been an amazing thing too, to really spur that collaboration and bring us together in one place on the things that we're sharing. But again, like having a central place is, we know that we're collaborating too on the things that we're sharing. So things aren't being shared like in multiple ways in all these different places, just like Google Classroom. You know, we're bringing it together so we can have them there, we can curate them. And this is something that I can help as a librarian really help my instructional coaches and our tech coaches on the things that, you know, that we're all sharing and how we're giving these resources to our kids and our teachers and even to our families. And so using collections, I just made all of these just in Canva, made the slides so they all look really nice and neat together. And in collections, you can collaborate on them. And so by adding our instructional coaches and our teachers, they can be a spot where we curate together. And so this has been a really, really helpful way to just really kind of marry those relationships together as a place for everybody to use.
I love that you said kind of to pare down and pick a few places as well, because I think that that's one of the things that we all struggle with, right? Because there are so many options that are out there, but also to be able to kind of build some depth of that curation in some very pointed opportunities is there's a lot of merit to that too. So I appreciate that part of it, because I think that it can easily become overwhelming to just think, oh gosh, well then I also need to have this and this and this and this. And you know, from the classroom perspective, we get that anxiety that comes up as we try to dive into that.
We need to, and I think that's something that as librarians we can kind of like help with and kind of model too. And so to bring that to the table, to be able to kind of bring those skills, it's a really important thing to do so we don't get overwhelmed.
Absolutely. Before we move into this next one, I want to grab a question off of the wall that's been posted out here. And this one's actually, it's kind of a push question. And I think I think it's one that's really, really important. So, you know, basically it says, what, from a library perspective, what would librarians like to hear from an integration coach, or excuse me, from an integration coach, so that they don't feel threatened or feel like their turf is being invaded and vice versa. So I think that that's really, I mean, kind of is to the point of one of the reasons why we're having this conversation today. So I know that you don't necessarily have that situation at your in your personal school, but you know, can you share some ideas or conversations that has, that you might be aware of?
Well, I think that's where like the Future Ready frameworks come in handy too, because being able to sit down and like see where our jobs are different, like on our skill sets and the things that we bring to the table, but also to see where they come together. We all have strengths and weaknesses, you know, we all do. It doesn't matter like what we do as, you know, Future Ready librarians or instructional coaches or whatever. We have things that we love, and we have things that maybe we're not so hot at. And so just like putting it out there on the table and getting a chance to just know each other first, because you can't have like these relationships and have this great like working relationship if you don't have like at least, you know, the start of a friendship and a relationship first, because we need to know, you know, what we like and dislike and what our strengths and weaknesses are, and kind of pinpoint what our jobs are. Like, what do we do as librarians? What are our jobs as instructional coaches? And put them down on paper, how we can, you know, do those two roles, but also bring them together. Working in something like a Google Doc again is super helpful. And so whenever we have a collaboration, if it's between the classroom teacher or the tech coaches or the instructional strategist or coaches, like we have a Google Doc that we have our specific roles and things, you know, that we have to do. And the great thing about this is not just only for us to be able to see that, but when we're having conversations, like maybe we have a conversation with our administrators about it, or maybe our kids are questioning even, you know, like this co-teaching that is happening in the classroom. And just to have those things and have kind of not only like the merge of what we do together as a job, but kind of to have that line too of what each responsibility is, I think is really important. And the great thing for me, like my instructional coach in the elementary, her name is Kate, and we have a great relationship. She's also a fourth grade teacher for half of the day. And we know each other, like we're friends, we've worked together for a long time, we're like really good at co-teaching together. And that really shines through because, you know, of that comfort level. But you have to get, I think, to that spot first, you know, or at least, you know, starting on that road to be able then to go to that next spot. But really defining like your role in your relationship is key, I think, to that.
Right. I mean, it's like you hopefully you're not going to get married until you've at least introduced yourselves. Right. Like, I think it's one of those where we forget that part is so important to really come at it. I was thinking back to when we sat down and did the frameworks, you know, a couple of years ago, and when we were all broken up into our strand and kind of going through like, what are our roles and what are the most important things that we do, and how tempting it was to basically say, I do all the things, right? Yeah. Like the superintendents, I do all the things, the principals, I do all the things. And we then kind of had to pare it back and say like, no, but there are certain things that are unique to your role. All of these things are important. And we all are looking at the similar entities, but we're looking at them through our specific roles perspective. And so I love that of looking at that framework to find those commonalities, but also those distinguishers that then, you know, can point to why is the coach in this situation the person who's going to step in, or why is the librarian the person who's going to be able to offer this lens? Why is the principal going to offer this lens, right? I think it's just, how do we, with respect, come together and recognize that everybody's valuable. Nobody's trying to push each other out of the way. And if we work together, we're not doing the same job at the same time. We're meeting different needs.
Absolutely.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So with that, how do we, you know, set the mood and create, now that we've, you know, established our roles and we're starting to come together in our relationships, how do we really start to move this through our culture and bring things together? And so I'm just going to run through a couple quick examples. So the first one is, again, from here in Eanes. This is our Valley View Elementary. I've got Dr. Holly Moore and Brandis Smolin and our Valley View Elementary Library. They have a really unique setup because for right now, they actually have a really large fifth grade group. And their elementary is a K through five elementary. And so many of our elementaries, right, have a specials rotation where maybe you go to art one day and the next day you go to music and the next day you go to PE. Well, they've implemented the library into that. They've brought that into that rotation. And so as part of that, they have a full class dedicated specifically to the library rotation where they can bring in and highlight different people. So sometimes it might be our ed tech coach. Sometimes it might be our instructional coach. Sometimes it's going to be our counselor. But it's really that opportunity to bring this in, you know, centralized through the library, through that hub of the school, and give everybody this opportunity to show how this culture of innovation has really, you know, has really kind of grounded into the school. And so it's really great. Some of the lessons that they do in there are, we have a film fest within our school district. And so they might be doing the creation of it. So they might be doing stop motion animation as an opportunity. They do a lot of design challenges, a lot of design thinking challenges, coding, as well as just how can we look at these different apps and how do they apply into our academic content. So really a great way to get in there and get their hands kind of messy and experiment and explore. So that said, that's going to lead me perfectly into the next one, which is Miss Lisa West out in Stephenville ISD. And Lisa is a librarian at the third and fourth grade campus. And if you can go to the next slide for me, Shannon, these are some snaps of her morning makers, excuse me. And she actually runs this program out of the library every Tuesday and Thursday. And she does this almost an hour before school starts. So she does it from 7:15 to 7:50 in the morning. And school starts at 8:05. And so she averages 150 students every morning, twice a week. And she has zero discipline problems. It's pretty amazing. And that's simply because, as you guys can see in this picture, these kids are totally invested in this. They know that there's a waiting list. It is a first come, first serve opportunity. So kids are, they're there, they're ready to go. And they know that Mrs. West has a zero tolerance policy. So if you're not gonna do what needs to be done in this time, there's other people who want that chance. And so kids are just really, they're locked in on it. They feel a ton of pride and ownership of this opportunity. And it's great. She, you know, I remember when she was putting this all together and people were like, oh gosh, how are you going to have, you have all these kids in here. There's going to be a mess everywhere. And she, you know, an amazing master teacher now in the library, runs it just the same. And she basically tells everybody, okay, time to clean up. Within 5 minutes, everything is completely put away and they feel so much pride in it. And it's been a huge opportunity to introduce maker curriculum and maker mindset into the school without you know, having to push into classrooms and take away some of that time that the campus might not have been ready for that right now. And so this was a great way for her to really introduce that concept, introduce it to students. And she's on her second year of this and has really, really just, it's blossomed in so many ways. It's completely funded through the Education Foundation. And so she has no technology actually involved in it right now, but is hoping that she can kind of build that in there. So again, a great way for her to feature things that can be done in the classroom, as well as you know, things that are of course deeply important to the library.
Yeah, I love that. I love what's happening in Lisa's library. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with this slide, but this slide is actually, I'll have to fix it in the slides that we share. This is a great project that I did with my friend and teaching partner, Kate, that I've talked about tonight. And Kate is, we have kind of a unique relationship, and she has a unique position at Van Meter, because being part fourth grade teacher and then part instructional coach, it gives us kind of an opportunity to do all of these projects that we want to do with Kate's kids, with her fourth graders. And so things like when we started Bloxels and Co-Spaces and Merge, and we're now doing digital breakouts with Adam Bella last week. I mean, just amazing things. But then we use that time that she has in the afternoon when she's not in her classroom and she has on that instructional coach hat to use her kids to be able to teach other kids within our school. And so we've taught, you know, the freshmen when they have been doing science projects using Bloxels, and Kate will go up there and support those kids with even a handful of her kids. We're getting ready to use it in our coding and some of our exploratory classes in our secondary. And so again, we'll use some of those little coaches that are students within Kate's class that have done it with her as a teacher in collaboration with me, but then, you know, wearing her instructional coach hat, she's able to then to support those teachers and those kids in other places within our building. So super cool way, you know, in partnership to be able to come together. And we've been doing just so many great things because we have that chance where she's not, you know, totally full time as either one. We're able to really play off of that in cool ways. Another thing that we did at Van Meter, which was really helpful, and I mentioned this in the beginning, is just, you know, you can't tell them enough what you can do, but also giving them a space where they can tell you what they need. And hearing all these great stories, for example, like Lisa with her makerspace, being able to, you know, celebrate what's happening in your library, but also being able to ask like your teachers and giving them a time that they can ask like what they need from you. And so my partner librarian and I, we created these just little movie ticket type things and a poster on what we can do as a teacher librarian, and also how we can co-teach and collaborate, use our instructional coaches, but then using that ticket as a place that they can write those things down. And you can't tell them enough, you know, what you can do or offer your help enough. And, you know, even using things like this, we push this out there all the time to our teachers, like, hey, let's collaborate. How can we help you? What can we do together? And again, using Kate and also our instructional coaches that we have upstairs and our tech people to be able to do that together is so important.
Absolutely. I think that it is just definitely one of those, you know, you could, like you said, you could never be visible enough.
Yeah.
And you know, nobody's ever going to turn down help, especially when you're right there. And so I think that is so important. We added this slide of, you know, how do you say those three little important words? And it's not always going to be, I love you, although that typically happens whenever you're in a happy relationship, especially when you're really just kind of moving things along. But how can we move this to the learning in action, and where do we go from having conversations to actually seeing it? And Shannon and I have shared a ton of examples in this. I have just one quick one that I want to share of another example that has come in, and that's our instructional partner. One of our instructional partners, Valerie Taylor at our high school, at Westlake High School, again, with Carolyn Foote. And what she does is, on the next slide, basically what they are working on right now is a collaborative project between the two of them with U.S. history. And in this, they have kind of, how are they going to scout? They've been working together with the teachers of how to scaffold this process. And they are kind of coming together again into the library to find topics and create all these things. Carolyn actually created the two handouts on the left using Canva. Shout out to Canva. And then on the right, she's got an element that she created in Pages. And so Valerie and she work together with the classes on turning in a topic idea into then how do they create those open-ended questions, and how do they really, you know, move into what is it that I need to know? I'm not just going and basically the idea is like, how do we turn research from just Googling information and regurgitating information that's already there into how can we really bring this to life and have this, you know, American history love story as they go through it. So they've created a Pear Deck to introduce them to some databases of different places where they can go and gather this information, as well as and how do they take these topics and turn them into questions in order to really create, I guess, bring about some more complex information. They're going to use Noodle Tools, which is a library bibliography resource, and Valerie's going to help work with the teachers on how they move back into their classroom then really kind of finalize that process of now that they've done their research and things, how can they move that into a very topic and pointed focus for them. So just great ways that you can jump in there and just continually find those. So that brings us to our resources now.
Yeah, I love that idea. And there's so many different things, you know, that we can share. And so we hope that we hear from a lot of you. And one of the great places to share, which I'm sure that most of you know, is we have amazing Facebook groups for Future Ready librarians and for our instructional coaches. And so if you have this like amazing, you know, way that you are collaborating and ideas that you've done or projects, please share them on here, because I know that I want to see them and everybody will learn so much from the things that you have to share too. We also have a collection for each one of the wedges for Future Ready librarians. And this is a great one too for just that partnership too with the instructional coach, and a great place to share things. And so on this one, and there is a link in the slide, and you're going to have access to the slide, so you'll have this link too. But this is one too that we can collaborate on together. And so with this collection or any of them, please share the things that you are also looking for as well, because it's so important for us to be able to share and celebrate those resources.
So I put in a slide from one of the things that we do during the Future Ready Institutes, and that's to it's really kind of a reflective opportunity for us to dive in around the framework. This is on Bulb. So if you want to go to the website, which is bulbapp.com, on the next slide, there's actually a link directly to that. You can do a free 30-day trial and really just kind of understand a little bit more about how we can leverage portfolios as instructional coaches. That's one of the things that's really important for us is looking at that reflective opportunity. And so that framework that again is linked off of that slide, like Shannon was saying, gives you some time to really dive into each one of the wedges for the instructional coach framework, and then reflect upon where you are personally for that, where your district is, and what are some goals, that some attainable goals that you can set for yourself over the next 6 months, or, you know, next year, whatever that looks like. So go out, give them some love. You can follow them on social media and kind of see some things around that.
And I just wanted to put to a slide at the end, just thinking about if you have questions or you want to find even more resources, the Future Ready School page, the website, has so many great things on it. You can also look up on there, like you can go to the Future Ready Librarian or Instructional Coaches, whatever page you want. And we have so many great things that will really be helpful to you to bring back to those conversations that you're having. And when this collaboration, no matter, you know, what stage you are in your relationship, you'll be able to find things that will help support you too. And so make sure that you go there. And it's something that I try to go to, you know, every week to be able to see the new things that are being added. I know too that a lot of you have had lots of questions on when are the Future Ready School Institutes going to be announced, and they are going to be announced soon. On this page, if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll be able to find a place that you can put your information, and then you will be sent an email when these things are actually out there and set in stone. I should have put a slide in here. We have something fun coming up too. We are, as Future Ready Librarians, going to have another Institute on the Saturday before ISTE, and that will be made public very soon. And so keep your eyes out for that too, because that's going to be another exciting event to look forward to in June.
Also, on the end, at the end of February, February 28th, there's a pretty big day. It's Digital Learning Day. We hope that each one of you guys will participate with this. You can go to futureready.org, and there's tons of information there on how you can join in the festivities and things, you know, suggestions of ideas and things that you can do in your district as well.
Yes, thank you so much for reminding us of that, because that is something we don't want to miss.
Absolutely. And if you're in the Illinois area on the 28th as well, we're going to be having a Future Ready Instructional Coaches Strand as part of ICE. And we would love for you guys to join us out for that as well. So I hope that this was helpful in, you know, kind of playing marriage therapist between instructional coaches and librarians. There's so many great things that each one of these roles can offer our schools. And so I think the biggest takeaway for me personally was communication and just that opportunity to create that relationship and foster that relationship and honor the work that others are doing, as well as, you know, just get in there and try it and see how it works.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. And it was so much fun to share just our stories and different tips. And I can't wait to see what all of you share too.
Awesome. So we want to remind our viewers that information on the Future Ready effort can be found at futureready.org. We encourage and challenge district superintendents to join the over 3,100 others and sign the Future Ready Pledge. We also encourage our school leaders watching today to join us at one of the 2019 Future Ready Institutes, which they will be announced soon, which, as always, are free for attendees. We also would like to encourage our viewers to get involved with the strands. Shannon shared out where, you know, we're on Facebook. There's all different kinds of places that you can find us. Please don't forget to join or connect with us on Twitter at Future Ready, or on Facebook, or you know, pretty much anywhere you can find us. If you missed any of today's conversation, it will be archived at all4ed.org/webinars. And that is the number four. So all4ed.org/webinars soon after this webinar. On that page, you can also see a list of upcoming webinars, and you can find all of the Alliance's Google Hangouts on our YouTube channel as well. If you are taking part in the Action Academy badging platform, the password for this webinar is COACH. So thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you guys next time.